Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The 0-2 is swung on, drilled in the air toward right field. Castellanos on the move, still going back to the track, to the wall, and it is gone. It is out of here. A two-run shot the other way for Christian Vasquez.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Tigers.
Xander swings, ground ball. Fair ball. Down the line at third. This will get a run in. Here comes Hernandez to score. They're going to try and score two. Betts rounding third, coming home. He is in. It's a double. Two RBIs for Xander Bogaerts.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett on WEEI.
All right, if you want to hop on board here, your number 617-779-7937. What do you make of your Red Sox at the All-Star break right now? So Mookie Betts right now is red hot. So 5 games before today, so for the month, he was hitting .474 with a .560 on-base percentage. And an OPS a shade under 1,300. So maybe this is the Mookie month, if you will, because Mookie has not had the months like he had last season. You think about it, in April, 8 home runs with a .367 on base percentage and a 1,200 OPS. Okay, or I should say hit .367 with an OPS over 1,200. And then in May, he hit 9 home runs and he hits .372 with an OPS over 1,200. So we know that Mookie Betts is a guy that typically can get red hot for long periods of time. Not like for a week, he can get red hot for a month like we saw in 2 different months last season. So when I look at Mookie Betts, part of the reason earlier on in the season that he wasn't producing is it felt like he was uncomfortable moving down in the order, despite the fact some of the rumors out there that maybe he actually wanted to move down in the order. Clearly, he was not comfortable in that position. Now he's back in the leadoff spot where he can be comfortable, where he's used to hitting. Maybe that's part of the reason that Mookie Betts is starting to heat up a little bit, because it makes no sense that this guy that destroyed left-handed pitching last year can't hit left-handed pitching this year. That makes no sense whatsoever. And I also look at this. When Mookie Betts came into the season, he was asked about his contract in spring training. And Mookie Betts said, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he essentially said he is going to wait until free agency, until he signs a contract long term. And remember what transpired over this offseason. Bryce Harper got the huge contract from the Philadelphia Phillies, and then Mike Trout got the massive contract extension from the Angels. Maybe some point in his career, Mike Trout will actually play relevant baseball games because he's going nowhere fast with the Angels. It just kind of sucks for the sport that the best player in the sport is never going to play in competitive games. But getting back to the Mookie Betts criteria of the conversation. So Mookie Betts, you can't tell me that this isn't something that was in between his ears at the beginning of the season, where he's trying to make sure that he lives up to the hype from what he did a season ago. And he's trying to get into a position to make sure he's set up to get that huge, massive contract long term with wherever it's going to be, location TBD, if you will. And now I think part of the reason that Mookie Betts is starting to heat up a little bit is, of course, the fact that he's now in the leadoff spot. And if that's something you want to blame Alex Cora for, you look at the fact that it took him 57 games to realize that Andrew Benintendi wasn't comfortable there. He was 3 of 37 hitting leadoff in games, and it took till game 57 for Alex Cora to make the change to get him out of that spot. That's something you could look at Alex Cora for. Most of the blame goes on the front office, Dave Dombrowski, etc. And I would put a ton of the blame this season on the guy that you gave $145 million to in Chris Sale, although I don't understand why people don't get upset with the way Chris Sale's performed. Everybody seems to defend Chris Sale. The reality of the situation is he hasn't done anything for the people in this town. I don't understand why everybody loves the guy. He's been a non-factor last year in the postseason because of an injury, but that's the point. He breaks down. It's not just because he's hurt. This is something that happens to him every year. And then 2 years in the postseason, 2 years ago, rather, in the postseason, got lit up by the Astros. So I don't understand why everybody defends Chris Sale like they just assume he's going to turn it around. He's been horrible since he got this new contract. But anyway, with Mookie, he was named an All-Star. And I think that means something to Mookie Betts because he was named an All-Star by the players' ballot, right? So it was kind of him getting validated by his peers, where this is somebody that's been thinking about a contract extension over the past couple of months, and now he gets named to the All-Star game. And ever since he got named to the All-Star game, it seemed like Mookie Betts has been in a position where he's been seeing the baseball a lot better. He's been hitting the baseball a lot better. So I wonder if some of this validation from his peers has actually helped Mookie Betts. Because if you remember back to a couple of years ago, when he bursted onto the scene, and in 2016 he had that phenomenal season, he finished runner-up in the MVP to Mike Trout that particular year, and he was in the conversation all season long for the MVP. He actually said after the season, I don't know if I'm ever going to have a season like that again. And then if you look at 2017, the numbers dipped off a little bit. And then in 2018, he takes off again. Alex Cora comes in, wants him to do damage early in counts, wants him to stop taking so many pitches, and he takes off again. And now this year, he's taken a step back. Now, I understand the on-base percentage is there, the runs scored are there, but the batting average is not there, and he clearly has not been the same hitter that he was a season ago. But this validation from his peers, if you will, is something that, from Mookie Betts' perspective, I actually believe that actually is in his head, and it actually does help him, that from a mental standpoint, all the other guys around baseball are still realizing you're a star, even if this particular season, you're not having the same year that you had in 2018, and maybe you don't even deserve to be in the All-Star game. But you're a big enough star in the league that all the other players in the league think you should be there. Now, the other guy I look at right now is Andrew Benintendi, who had another hit today. He had four hits yesterday. And Benintendi's somebody that has been struggling mightily this season. And one of the things I look at with Benintendi that I'm wondering about, and the strikeout rate is over 23% this year, which is horrible. He was at 16 last year, which is really good. But when you're at 23, I mean, that is bad. One of the things I wonder about Andrew Benintendi is, remember when Andrew Benintendi came up with this organization? This is somebody that was the seventh overall pick in the draft, won the Golden Spikes Award for the best amateur player in the country. Remember, that year, he beat out Alex Bregman for that award. He went seventh in the draft. He comes up, and remember his first postseason with the Red Sox, he was like the only one that was hitting Cleveland pitching. He actually came up and he performed at a high level. But now you think about it, Andrew Benintendi was supposed to be a star in this team, a star going forward for this team. Last year, at this particular point in time, he was on that ballot for the last guy to make it into the All-Star game. And ever since then, it seems like there's been a power outage for Andrew Benintendi. So I like the fact that Cora got him back in the lineup the past couple of days, because it did look like he was dealing with an injury for a little bit there. Clearly, his knee was bothering him. We know when he took a couple of days off. We saw it the other night in the Toronto game. He couldn't get to a ball. So give him a couple of days off, let him clear his head, and let him go up against some horrible pitching like Jordan Zimmermann yesterday, who was awful. That guy gave up, what, 13 hits in 3 1/3, and you had a bullpen game today from the Tigers. So get Andrew Benintendi back in the lineup. Try to get him some confidence as you get into the All-Star break. So I give Cora some credit for that. But I wonder, from a mental standpoint with Andrew Benintendi, you're supposed to be this unbelievable player. And you look around, obviously Mookie's a significantly better player than you, but now Rafael Devers has taken your role in the lineup too. You were supposed to be a guy that was a constant contributor to this team, that was an All-Star level player going forward. And now you look at it, your spot in the lineup actually got taken by Rafael Devers, and you're never getting that back. Rafael Devers is going to stay in that number two spot until, like Rafael Devers, they decide, oh, maybe we'll hit him 3 or 4, but it's not because Benintendi is going to earn that spot back. Ever since this team went to Rafael Devers in the two hole, they've scored in the first inning 8 out of 10 games. And Devers has played a role in each one of the runs they scored in the first inning, meaning at least one of the runs, he had some involvement in it, whether it was him driving in the run, him scoring the run, or in the case of yesterday, he moved Mookie Betts over to set up the run for Bogarts to drive in Mookie Betts. So Devers is never coming out of that two spot. And that was supposed to be Andrew Benintendi's role in the lineup. And now Devers is a bigger star than Benintendi. Chavis has gotten a lot of attention this season. I'm not saying that long-term Chavis is definitely going to be a better player, but he's gotten more buzz this season. Xander Bogaerts has gotten significantly more buzz, and rightfully so. So if you're Andrew Benintendi, you were supposed to be one of the stars. You were supposed to be one of the pillars of this Red Sox organization going forward, and now you're seeing all these guys just pass you by. And I wonder, from a mental standpoint, if that's part of this thing with Andrew Benintendi, and I think also we're coming to the realization that he was supposed to be this power hitter coming out of Arkansas. A lot of people thought he was going to have legitimate power. You look at the size. I never really thought he was going to be a great power hitter when it pertains to Major League Baseball or anything along those lines. But now the average is down this season, and that's something that he can control. And that's something that he does need to get back on track, because Benintendi is supposed to be a stabilizing force with this team where you can depend on good at-bats from him, and we have not seen that this year. Now, maybe this Tigers series is what gets him right, and maybe that's what jolts his season, so to speak, because if you get Betts red hot, which Betts is starting to get hot right now, and if you get Benintendi hot, I mean, look out. This lineup's already first in a couple of statistical categories. You know Devers has been outstanding. You know Bogarts has been outstanding. JD is JD. If Benintendi gets going, and if Mookie Betts starts to continue to hit at the level he's hit over the past couple of days, well, then this team is going to take a huge leap from an offensive perspective. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, with regards to the whole Mookie situation, actually, you know what? Let's simplify Mookie. The year he almost won the MVP award, he was leadoff for most of the year, yep. And then Farrell dropped him at the very end of the season, and he had one home run the last month or so of the season because he started batting him in the four spot behind David Ortiz because Farrell thought that was a brilliant idea. I thought it was idiotic, but there you go. The next season, he was batting down in the order, you know, like the third spot or whatever, pretty much most of the season, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
The year after that, the first thing I heard Cora say, which was last year, was when he first joined, took over as the manager, was that he was going to bat Mookie leadoff, and Mookie wins the MVP award, and then he gets off to this rough start this year, batting second. So I think the moral of the story is just bat him leadoff, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Whatever you batted him leadoff, Mike, the results were.
Mike, I talked about it before the season. It's one of the more perplexing things that Alex Cora did. I mean, you had the number one offense in baseball, as you mentioned. You had an American League MVP in Mookie Betts. And let's not forget, like, Benintendi had a good season or a good first half last year where he was a fringy all-star candidate, if you will. It made no sense that they made this big announcement at the winter meetings that they were switching those guys up in terms of the batting order. I never understood that to begin with.
Well, I remember you talking about it, Brian, because the person you were talking about it was with me. So anyways, with regards to Mookie, right, after pumping Mookie up like that, honestly, the most important team for me watching in at least the last 20 years is the Royals, right? And between Mookie's $30 million and between the $20 million coming back from Pablo, that's about half of the payroll of that team that went to two World Series in a row, right? And the Royals were built on two fundamental principles. One, they were solid 1-9. They didn't have anybody on their team as good as Mookie or JD or Devers or even Xander. You know what I'm saying? All these guys are better hitters than anybody they had, but they were solid 1-9, and when a pitcher stumbled, they were able to jump him. If the number six hitter came up and that pitcher was good for the first three innings, he walked out for the fourth and he was a little wobbly, those guys cut his throat.
Well, and Mike, that Royals team in 2015, too, they were the high contact rate team. Remember, they never struck out.
Exactly. You know, they had a very solid team, and they were also the team that made bullpen sexy. Where now it wasn't just the closer anymore, now that everybody started chasing after setup men, because the Royals just had like some decent starters and the bullpen won the game for them. Well, you know what? That's $50 million to spread around. And I love Mookie, but you know what? When we were in the playoffs last year, I don't remember him like carrying us to victory.
No, he had 210. He had one home run. He had 210. The home run he hit was in the last game of the postseason in that clincher against the Dodgers. He was horrible in the postseason.
Yeah, between what you could get for him, right, the $30 million that he gets, and especially even more money he'll probably get paid, you can just spread that around to the rest of the team, particularly the bullpen. And like I said, they're also getting Pablo's money back. And honestly, they could be a very, very solid team. You know what? Here's the key thing. Two teams just this season. The Rays always have to go and rummage through the bargain basement bin to put their team together. They're better than us. And even the Yankees showed financial discipline this year around. this time. Everybody thought they were going to go chase after Manny Machado, and they signed LeMahieu. Everybody's kind of like, well, that's a weird thing, except now LeMahieu's working out. And even people like Urshela is working out for them. They didn't go crazy throwing money around like wild.
No, they spent it wisely, Mike. They spent, $7 million per season on Adam Ottavino to add to their bullpen, to add to a strength that they already had, which the Red Sox could clearly use a guy like that right now in their bullpen.
And so I look at Mookie, as much as I like him, and let's not even talk about the fact that he is a little guy who could break down, and we've already seen that with other people around here. I just don't want to throw a tremendous amount of money at him. And between that money and Pablo's money, they could just fix all these problems on the
team. Yeah. I appreciate the call, Mike. You can grab his line if you'd like to. It's 617-779-7937. Great call from Mike, as always. Here's the thing. So with Mookie Betts, as Mike points out, he's 180 pounds, okay? He's not a big guy. That's why I don't want to give Mookie Betts a contract in the $300 million to $400 million range. And you know what you have with the Red Sox right now. And even if J.D. Martinez opts out of his contract and he leaves the team, you have your three and your four hitters set up for the foreseeable future. Devers is under club control for a long time. He's only 22. And Bogaerts just signed that extension. So you have that locked up. That's why I'm saying next offseason, if Mookie says it's great if Mookie wants to be around and it's at a reasonable number, but if not, you can get a lot to replenish your farm system by trading away Mookie Betts. And we all know coming into the season, a lot of entities, Baseball Reference, et cetera, Fangraphs, had the Red Sox rated as the worst farm system in all of Major League Baseball. And they have no pitching, right? We saw the number one pitching prospect is Hernandez. That kid comes up here and he can't throw a damn strike. Now they're trying to turn him into a reliever. That's your number one pitching prospect. So that's why I'm saying, and in terms of the aging as well, Xander Bogaerts is a big guy. Mookie Betts is a small guy. His power is based on his athleticism. It's based on his bat speed. He doesn't have any power to the opposite field like we see with Devers and like we see with Xander Bogaerts. I don't think he's going to age well. I also think he's more Matt Ryan than he is Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in terms of the MVP he won. Like Matt Ryan, somebody we're going to look back and say, oh yeah, he won an MVP. That's how Mookie's going to be. It's like Justin Morneau. It's not the Albert Pujols, Mike Trout type level player where they're in the conversation every year. And obviously I'm talking about Pujols in his prime. That's why, from my perspective, I would get rid of Mookie Betts next offseason, get a whole lot back for him because he's still a star in the sport. And right now it makes no sense to trade him because his value is at its nadir. He's playing nowhere near the level he was a season ago. Plus, if you wait till the offseason, you get more suitors. It's not just the contenders at the deadline. You open up more people that are like, oh, well, we got a chance to get a star in here. Let's see. Maybe we can agree to a contract extension with him long term. And as it pertains to the bullpen, Mike's point there, the issue that the Red Sox had, it was almost arrogance, right? Because everybody around here questioned what they did at the deadline in terms of not upgrading the bullpen. And they told us, remember, Dave Dombrowski said at the deadline, the reason they didn't do it was because Thornburg was pitching well and because Brazier was pitching well. Now, Brazier, they got the last laugh on that one because he worked out last year, but how's that looking for you this year? And then with Thornburg, he had like five good outings before the trading deadline, and then he turned back into a pumpkin. That guy sucked. He hasn't been good since then. So that's why they said it was going to work. And what worked in the postseason was a bunch of starters going into the pen. Porcello pitched out of the pen. We know about Price. We know about Eovaldi. All those guys went into the pen. You can't do that during the regular season. So the whole issue is you can't just let relievers walk out the door that were vital parts of you during the regular season, Joe Kelly, Craig Kimbrell, etc., and just not replace them whatsoever and just think you're going to be able to find guys like you saw you find Ryan Brazier out of Japan. Are you going to do the same thing like Marcus Walton? This guy was playing in indie ball a couple of years ago. Does anybody trust Marcus Walton if you get to a postseason series? I get his numbers are pretty good, but does anybody trust that guy in a big critical situation? I certainly do not. Let's get to Justin. He's in North Carolina. What's going on, Justin?
Brian, what's going on, man? I appreciate you taking the call.
Anytime.
Yeah, I called about a week ago and we spoke about how, Mookie Betts might had a little bit of that mental thing going on, how he did mention that after that 2016 season, he might not duplicate that season again. And
you pointed that out. That. I remember,
Right. So that's definitely concerning. Another big concerning thing to me is that it almost seems like Dombrowski has this track record of having, a magical season and then they're just, it's almost like they're chalking it up to, well, well, you know what? If 2019, if we don't make the playoffs, that's fine. That's not fine, okay? We have the highest payroll in baseball. We pretty much came back with the same team minus a couple relievers, and I'm sorry, but that's very disheartening for me to hear. And I think with Cora's responses that, oh, we're going to get it done, you know, we'll turn it around, I really think he's only appeasing Dombrowski, but that insults my intelligence as a diehard fan. I cannot accept that. I cannot accept that, you know, we're on the verge of maybe having a little dynasty here, and you guys just expect to come in with these flash-in-the-pan guys. Like, everything went right last year. That's not going to happen again. It doesn't happen in baseball. And for them to just keep saying, well, you know, go turn it around, or I like the Eovaldi move, you know, when he comes back to close out for us, but it really might be too little too late. The Yankees are running away with this division. I mean, every series that we played them so far, they absolutely dominated us. And just like
yeah,
you talked about
six.
Before, absolutely. We have zero chance against them in a meaningful series. You know, if say we have to be it just hurts to be up 6-1 or 7-2 going into the sixth and the starters can't barely make it out of the fifth. And you just know that this pen is going to give it up. You just know it. I mean, by the seventh inning, if we're up 7-2, it's 7-5, 7-6, bases loaded, one out. It's so frustrating because you really felt like this team had a little bit. A lot of the guys are young. You got Devers having this crazy MVP caliber year. You got Xander really coming into his own the past couple of years. And even with Betts and Benintendi's kind of off years, so to speak, this offense, like you touched on, it still has that magic. And I feel like they're turning it around a little bit here offense-wise. But listen, pitching wins ball games. We all know that. And this pitching is not winning anything this year. Nothing.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Justin. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. That's the issue that you have as a Red Sox fan, right? Because you feel like your offense is World Series caliber, and the pitching staff, the rotation in general, but more importantly, the bullpen, is just absolutely atrocious, nowhere near World Series level. So when you look at it from Dave Dombrowski's perspective, it's on him for not upgrading this group. Why did everybody else this offseason that was considered to be contenders go out and do things with their bullpen? The Yankees add an Adam Ottavino. They make sure that they keep Zach Britton, who was a free agent. They sign him to a three-year contract as well. The Astros added to their bullpen. What did the Red Sox do with their bullpen? They just let guys walk. They just let guys walk. So, and it almost seems like to me, you've lost your advantage in the market. The advantage the Red Sox have is they can outspend you when it comes to relievers, okay? So that time would be in the offseason. That's when you would invest in relievers, so to speak. Not now, because right now, you don't have the better prospects to upgrade at the deadline. Like, you're one of the worst farm systems in baseball. So if you look at now the situation that Dave Dombrowski's put himself in, does he want to give up a premier prospect to outbid a team like the Rays, a team like the Twins, a team like the Dodgers for an elite level reliever? Is he going to want to part ways with an elite level prospect because you look at the farm system, it's not good? And if you think that you are going to put your bullpen over the top with one piece, that's just ridiculous. It's not going to happen. There's too many damn holes. I would like to ask you this question at 617-779-7937. Which Red Sox reliever are you actually confident in right now? When he comes out to the mound, you actually say to yourself, yep, they're going to close this down 1-2-3 inning. No doubt about it. Is there anybody in the bullpen you feel that way about? A lot more to get into. You can hop on board 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so here on WEI. We'll get you trending in a second here.
93.7 FM, WEI.
Stephen Wright is back. Tell me what he means to your bullpen and as he comes here at a moment when you really haven't had that long guy through a number of injuries for a while now. What does Stephen Wright do for you?
Well, I think he does a lot for us. Of course, he's a good major league pitcher. People forget because he's been hurt so much how effective he is. But when he's been pitching at the minor league level, he's been rehabbing over the last couple of years, he's pitched very effectively. So he's a guy that gives us the versatility to do a lot of different things. He can go long, but he can also pitch often. So he can pitch an inning or two almost every day. So he's an effective pitcher. He gives us a very productive big league guy that we're very happy to add to our bullpen mix at this point.
Yeah, it's one of the guys that Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox were hoping to add to the bullpen. Can't wait to get Stephen Wright back, who is serving an 80-game suspension for PEDs. And oh, by the way, if the Red Sox are to make it to the postseason, Stephen Wright will not be available because if you're a PED guy, if you get suspended for PEDs, you can't play in the postseason despite coming back for the second half of the season, if you will, in the case of Stephen Wright, who's also coming off a knee injury. So this is one of the guys that Dave Dombrowski thought was going to help the bullpen. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. So you think about Stephen Wright as somebody that Dave Dombrowski was saying, yep, he's going to help out the bullpen. Well, last night, I felt awful with him on the mound. Cabrera singles, then he walks Castro. Can't locate the knuckleball. Oh, crazy. Crazy. He can't locate his knuckleball. Okay, there's a reason there's been like two knuckleballers in the history of this sport that have actually been successful. You know why? Because nobody knows where a knuckleball is going. So they were hoping this guy could provide them with some innings, if you will, coming out of their bullpen. Okay, I understand that last year, as a bullpen army, had a nice ERA, if you will. But did anybody trust that that was going to duplicate itself, especially after considering the fact the guy's coming off a knee injury? So he couldn't locate anything last night. Now, luckily, he gets out of that inning without giving up a run in the ninth against the Tigers. But again, you're sitting there watching the game, and it's one of the more aggravating things with this Red Sox team. You're wondering, are we actually going to be able to get out of this inning? Are you going to get out of this inning? What's going on here? Are you going to be able to close down the Tigers? Because we saw the bullpen blow a game against the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of weeks ago. We saw them blow a game against the White Sox, two of the worst teams in baseball. Is that going to happen again? That's what I was thinking last night against the Tigers. Then you think about it in that game against the Blue Jays on Wednesday. Came into the seventh inning, no control, walked Tellez. Then Drury doubles, and they end up getting a sac fly to bring in a run. And then he walks Guerrero. So two walks and a hit in that particular outing. And then against the Yankees in London, gives up a home run to Brett Gardner. So this is a guy that is supposed to give the Red Sox some lift in terms of their bullpen. Well, last night, another shaky outing where he had to get Heath Embry hot just to make sure that Stephen Wright could get out of the inning. Or in case he couldn't, you're going to have to go to Heath Embry. The Blue Jays outing was shaky, gave up a run in that particular scenario. And the Yankees outing, he gave up a home run to Brett Gardner. So this is somebody that Dave Dombrowski was waiting to get back because he thought he could add to the bullpen. So instead of, when you were falling behind at one point, 11 games behind the Yankees, now it's at 9 at the deadline, when you're falling behind 6-7 games to the Yankees, you didn't think at that particular point in time that you should go out and actually upgrade. You said, all right, let's wait. Hector Velasquez is going to come back from the IL. Stephen Wright's coming back from the IL. You thought you had all these internal solutions. That's what the Red Sox thought. And part of it, I have to imagine, is this. Think about also as it connects with the contracts Dave Dombrowski gave out this offseason. Steve Pierce, World Series MVP. Nathan Eovaldi was like a cult hero after the run he went on in the postseason. So you think about it. It was almost like Dave Dombrowski, who was questioned at the trade deadline. Now, it ended up working out last year. But remember, he was questioned at the trade deadline for the moves he didn't make, so to speak. And he said, we're going to be fine. The only major moves they made at the deadline was bringing in a guy like Nathan Eovaldi and bringing in Steve Pierce. So it was almost like Dave Dombrowski this offseason, instead of looking at this team and realizing, oh, shoot, Joe Kelly's leaving. Oh, shoot, Craig Kimbrell's leaving. I need to upgrade the bullpen. I need to get some depth in my bullpen, if you will. Instead of doing that, which would have been the appropriate thing to do for anybody running a baseball operations department, if you will, and everybody around here said the same thing. This isn't like we're Monday morning quarterback in the thing. We were saying you need more depth in the bullpen, and they kept telling us we're going to be fine. We're going to get outslate in games. So it felt like, to me, it was almost like his victory lap. Let's bring back the World Series MVP for $6 million, even though he's a 36-year-old journeyman that we really don't need. And also the fact you're bringing back Nathan Eovaldi for $17 million per season with a serious injury history. And the only track record of him being a good major league pitcher was one run in the postseason last year. So it almost seemed like what Dave Dombrowski approached the offseason with was this idea that he was going to puff out his chest and show you, hey, see what we did last year. We'll be right again. And that same arrogant approach is actually hurting the Red Sox right now because they've done nothing from an external manner to upgrade the bullpen or do anything with the starting rotation, right? Because, okay, Nathan Eovaldi's not available. He hopefully, at the earliest, he'll be available July 12th, but we heard it's going to take a month more for him to be ready to start. But this whole time, as you were going through all these guys that sucked as your fifth starter, you didn't do anything to maybe make a little move that wouldn't cost you much to get a guy that can just eat up innings. Because this team right now can't even find anybody to eat up innings in that fifth spot in the rotation. If I was Alex Cora and Dave Dombrowski, and I understand he can't go deep because of his knee right now, I would much rather put Stephen Wright out every fifth day and see if he can give me 4 or 5 innings. And instead of going with the rest of these guys, the Velasquezes, the Colton, or not really, Colton Brewer started like one of them, but Ryan Weber, Josh Smith, you brought up Hernandez from the minor leagues, like those guys. The average fifth starter for the Red Sox is going three innings per game. And you didn't go out to put a little Band-Aid on that problem. Couldn't even do that. 617-779-7937, your number. Let's get to Kelly in Rockland. What's up, Kelly?
Hello, Brian?
Yeah, what's going on, Kelly?
I got a comment for you on Sales, okay? When's the last time you've seen him pitch at a velocity of 98 or 97? When's the last time you've seen him throw that high? And that's what he was doing a couple of years ago, and yeah, while he was winning.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think about
the year, right?
What's that?
I said he sort of burned himself at the end of the year. They wanted him to slow down, see if he gain strength towards the crisis when I had to get to the playoffs. That's why he had nothing left.
Yeah, well, he was coming back from an injury at that particular point in time. But this whole season, what's the excuse for this year? They say he's healthy.
He's not throwing 98, is he?
No, he's not throwing 98.
But no, I never.
Right. Well, the other issue, Kelly, is he's not locating the fastball. You look at that start against the Blue Jays. He missed on three fastballs. One was to the 7-hitter. One was to the 9-hitter, right down the middle of the plate that they take out of the ballpark for home runs. So he can't locate it. And the other thing you look at, Kelly, is how about the fact in that Chicago White Sox game, his former team, in the first inning, he couldn't locate his slider. I mean, that's Steph Curry without a jump shot. If Chris Sale doesn't have a slider, that's his out pitch. If he doesn't have that working, what does he have?
This is very true. And as far as this bullpen goes, I think Eckersley gave you the answer last night when he sort of blamed the Tigers bullpen as not being major league. They don't belong here, he said. I think he referring to the Red Sox bullpen. They don't belong here either.
That's fair.
No, how many guys in big league pitches in that bullpen? Huh?
No, you're fair
you
point.
You can't trust any of them.
Well, that was my point, Kelly, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. You go through the guys in this bullpen. For me, Workman has been the best out of the group, but I don't trust Workman when you get into like a playoff scenario because he walks the ballpark. I think back to that Twins outing, the 17-inning game. In the eighth inning, he walked two guys, and he gives up a harmless little base hit to Kepler, but it's not harmless because he had walked too many guys. He put two guys on base with walks. So I don't trust Workman in a big spot. I don't know if you do. Matt Barnes, you can't trust on back-to-back days, and you can't trust him in the ninth inning. What has he converted? Four of his 10 save opportunities? Has the most tied for the most blown saves in Major League Baseball? You can't trust Barnes. Walden does not have the stuff to trust him late in games. Heath Embry, I was starting to trust Heath Embry, and it looked like in that ninth inning today, starting to get the fastball back a little bit, where he was getting to that 94, 93 more consistently, because the other day, the home run to Hicks, that was at about 92 miles an hour. So maybe Hembry's a guy going along here that you can start to trust, but remember, Hembry's a guy that doesn't really have any sort of track record, if you will, in terms of a long period of success. So other than that, who are the other guys in the bullpen you're looking at? Shawarin's back in AAA. That guy sucked. Josh Taylor, look, I like how he bounced back tonight, but you think about the outing he had yesterday. He gave up three hits in that inning, and they had to yank him and go to Barnes to get the righty-on-righty matchup. So Taylor's still a young player, and I still think he's got a lot of potential. I like how he bounced back today, the two innings, the four strikeouts. But Taylor, are you depending on him in a big spot? This is his like first kind of bite at the apple, if you will, his first opportunity. So there's nobody really that I can say without question, yeah, I'm good with that guy when he gets onto the mound. And at least for a contender, you usually have one to two guys. You say, yeah, I feel good when I go to this guy. Right? When Aaron Boone goes to his bullpen, he gives the ball over to Chapman. He's like, yeah, I feel pretty good about this one. Who does Alex Cora have in his bullpen where he's saying, yeah, I feel pretty good about that one? And they misjudged a lot of these guys. They thought Barnes could be this high leverage reliever on an everyday basis. Problem is, the guy can't go in back-to-back games. Get to Danny. He's in Syracuse. What's up, Danny?
Oh, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
I heard you say that our bullpen's not looking good for the postseason. I'm thinking we need all the help we got right now, and we got to focus on the regular season. So, Stephen Wright, we need him, you know?
Yeah, but do you trust him? That's a question, Danny. I mean, last night, he gives up a hit. He walks a guy. I felt like we were walking the tightrope watching that game last night. You had Heath Embry warming up to come into the game because Alex Cora, the manager, was telling you that he did not trust Stephen Wright in that particular scenario. Gives up the home run to Gardner a week ago against the Yankees. In the Blue Jays game, he gives up a run. So I don't trust the guy whatsoever.
I mean, we got to give him some time. We still have, he just came back a couple weeks ago, so he's got to get some more innings in, and he'll be fine, like, by the end of the season.
Okay, but Danny, let me give you this hypothetical. So you're playing the Yankees, and you have a 3-2 lead, and you're heading into the bottom of the sixth inning, right? And your starter, as it pertains to the Red Sox, usually only go like 5 1/3, 5 2/3, whatever it is. So say Erod gives you five innings, it's 3-2. You comfortable giving Steven Wright the ball in the sixth inning?
Let's give it to him.
I mean, I guess if you want to give it to him, I'm asking you the question. You trust that he's going to come through?
I trust him. I trust him. And there's not many others in the bullpen that I trust.
Yeah, I don't know. And I appreciate the call, Danny. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I don't know how anybody could trust Steven Wright in that type of situation. 3-2 game, sixth inning against the Yankees. You got to bring somebody in. You got to bring in Steven Wright. That's my question is, when you get into games against these elite teams, and I understand you don't play the Astros again during the regular season, but hypothetically in a playoff series, if you're up 3-2 or you're up 4-3 going into the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th inning, who do you trust? Is Nathan Eovaldi going to be that guy when he comes back? And how many innings is he going to be able to provide you? And is Matt Barnes going to be able to be somebody that can pitch on back-to-back days when you get to the postseason? It seems like right now Matt Barnes is gassed, and maybe not all that's on him. Maybe that's on the fact that they have overused him because Alex Cora doesn't trust other guys in the bullpen. Just think about this. Think about this for a second. Going into that White Sox game the other day, or about a week and a half ago now, the one where Sale was horrible in, and the one they lost 8-7, Matt Barnes gave up the home run to Abreu. Think about this. Matt Barnes had pitched the day prior, and we all know the numbers. Matt Barnes on back-to-back days has an ERA north of 11, okay? So think about where Alex Cora was at. He went to Matt Barnes for the ninth inning, knowing those numbers. What does that tell you about what Matt Barnes, or rather what Alex Cora thinks about the rest of the guys in the bullpen? He thought it was better in that game against the White Sox to give Matt Barnes the ball, who has proven this season he can't pitch on back-to-back days. He actually thought it was a better thing for his team to go to that guy than anybody else in the bullpen. And I get, on that particular day, Workman was down because he had pitched like 2 or 3 days in a row, so he was not available. But he didn't trust anybody else to go to in the bullpen on that day. All right, a lot more to get into. Where do you rank the Red Sox right now? Where do you rank their biggest issues right now as we get ready for the second half of the season? Who do you blame for the Sox right now being 9 games behind the Yankees in the division? Your number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well-timed, these next 4 days.
It's huge. Whenever you win 5 out of 6 going into the break, you know, a lot of times you want to just keep playing, keep that momentum. But I think everybody in here is ready for this break. We need this break. We need these 4 days off, so it's good.
After those 2 games in England, just winning these 2 series, you know, playing a lot better, was that important after coming up first?
Yeah, you know, it's crunch time for us right now. So, enjoy these next 4 days off, come back, and ready to play against whoever we're playing against.
Dodgers, that'd be the Dodgers, David Price. You play the Dodgers after the break, starting on Friday. Rematch of the World Series. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. David Price, again, really good today. The only gripe I would have is he only went 5 innings, and that's because he threw 22 pitches in the first inning. And if you looked at it, it was really weird to see how he came out of the gates, if you will, where he walked Reyes and he missed on 3 fastballs, and he was throwing 87 miles an hour and 89 miles an hour on his fastballs in that particular at bat. And then once he got to Cabrera, he was able to dial back up to 92. One mistake in the game, Castellanos rips a double on an 83 mile an hour changeup, and they get a 1-0 lead. But after that first inning, Price doesn't give up anything again. And I have to imagine, like, how crazy it is to be David Price right now. Because a year ago at this time, if they were struggling, and they weren't struggling last year, but I'm just talking about the first 3 years of his career here in Boston, every year there was something going on with David Price in terms of what the fan base was upset about as it pertained to David Price. Now, remember last year, even last year when this team was rolling, David Price had the allergies issue. You go back to against the Yankees, he had the carpal tunnel issue at the beginning of the season. He talked about circulation. He talked about his hands were always cold and all that stuff. And now David Price is the one guy that's not having to answer any questions, right? Rafael Devers, I guess, too, and Xander Bogaerts is having a great season. Some of the guys in the lineup. But it's everybody else in the rotation but Price. So if you think about where Price is today compared to where he was just a year ago, okay, because he hadn't proven anything really yet as a Red Sox at that time.
It's fresh cut grass.
Fresh cut grass. That gets him every time. Fresh cut grass. That's one of the things that gets him. Now if he wants to skip a bullpen outing because of fresh cut grass, I don't care.
Cats.
Because, yeah, cats. Cats get me too.
Dogs.
I'm allergic to cats. I'm actually allergic to dogs as well. They get my eyes a little messed up. So, look, I understand where David Price is coming from. But just juxtapose the position he's in now to the position he was last year. Everybody else in the rotation has not lived up to what they were supposed to be. Rick Porcello has been awful. Chris Sale has been absolutely terrible. The guy's got an ERA over 4 at this particular point in time. And Erod, for the, what, fourth straight season, hasn't taken a step forward. So when you look at David Price, everybody else on this pitching staff, in terms of the starting rotation, has an ERA north of 4. One of the only things you're not questioning about the Boston Red Sox right now is David Price. He's just going to be so calm. He's just going to be so under control right now. He's going to just be so happy with where he's at because he opts into that contract. $32 million each of the next 3 seasons. Remember, that was a conversation last year. People wanted him to opt out of the contract so he could be out of Boston and go somewhere else. There was like legitimate conversation that David Price would contemplate. Not that David Price ever came out and publicly said this, but there was legitimate conversation. If you were David Price, would you opt out of the contract, take less money, and go somewhere else where you know you're going to be happier? Those were like legitimate conversations that we were having. And now you flip forward to where David Price is at this year. He's been the rock of the pitching staff. He's been the guy that is carrying this pitching staff right now. Chris Sale has been a liability. Eduardo Rodriguez has been, I guess, for a fourth starter, he's been okay. Rick Porcello.
I've sucked every bit of every last one of them.
Damn right he has. And that's another thing I'm getting sick and tired of with Sale. It's great that the guy's accountable and all this, but aren't you getting sick of every start that Chris Sale has after the game? He says, I don't have anything left for you. I don't know what to say to you guys. It's embarrassing. I've embarrassed my family. And he also says that he doesn't have any answers. Well, great. That makes me feel really, really good. I'm happy that Rick Porcello and Chris Sale, because Rick Porcello does the same thing. They come out and they say they got to be better after all these starts where they suck in. That's great. You guys are taking accountability for your action, right? You're saying it's on you. Okay, I understand that. And it's nice that these guys are accountable. But when are we going to get some damn results? That's the thing that's aggravating about those guys. And with David Price, you have no questions. Did anybody actually think today that there's a chance David Price could struggle? And I get it's the Tigers, but I feel this way about every time this guy goes on the mound. It's totally different from where I was at with David Price a year ago. Like when he went into Yankee Stadium, a place that he has not been able to pitch whatsoever since he became a member of the Boston Red Sox. When he went into Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago, I said the Red Sox are going to win this game because David Price is on the mound. He's been the stopper. When you had that series against Tampa a couple weeks ago, you had lost the previous 2 games of the series. Okay, and you needed David Price to make sure that you didn't get swept. David Price goes out there and he delivers. Every time David Price goes on the mound, you can depend on a quality outing. How many bad outings has he had this year? 3. And the first 2 were because he wasn't ready for the season because none of the starting pitchers were. And he had 1 bad one against the Rangers a couple of weeks ago when it was freezing outside. But other than that, David Price, every time you've asked him to go out there and deliver, he's been able to do it this year. This is the one thing you don't have to worry about with this team. And that's something that we continued to question with this Red Sox for the previous 3 seasons. Every time David Price was coming to the mound, you questioned which David Price is going to show up. Is he going to be the David Price that you thought you were signing away from the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of years ago? Now, the only thing that you don't have a question about as it pertains to this pitching staff is that guy. That guy's the only person in the pitching staff you don't question. You don't have Nathan Eovaldi. We don't know when the hell that guy's going to be a starter again. In fact, I don't believe he's going to be a starter again this particular season. They say it could be a month, like by bringing him out of the bullpen, you get him back a month earlier. Does anybody really think he's going to work his way up to be a starter by the end of the season? That's why I look at Dave Dombrowski. I think the reason they're getting him out there is to save face. They got to do something with Nathan Eovaldi, right? Paying this guy $17 million per season. So that means as a starter, he wouldn't have been available until August the 12th, right? Because if he comes back July 12th, it'll be a month after that till he could be a starter, according to Alex Cora. It's like a month longer. They got to do something. They're paying the guy $17 million per season. It's only a four-year contract. You got to get something out of this guy. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to hop on board and weigh in. What do you make of where the Red Sox are at the midway point of the season? Who do you blame for the Red Sox being nine games behind the Yankees? Your number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.